Let's go to the Lord and ask him for his guidance. Lord, as we delve into what it takes to glorify you and what glory really is, Lord, I just pray that our minds will be fixed on you, that you'll open our hearts, and Lord, that we'll see that the real heart of what glory is, it's just not a few empty words. It's really the cry of our hearts and also the obedience of our bodies. So we look to you for that in Christ's precious name. Amen. What is glory? Vine has two words that they translated glory. And the one is to honor, resulting from a good opinion. And when you refer to God, it's who he is and what he's done. The second one is, and I changed it, entitling the message, The Basis of Glory. The word actually in Vine says the ground, which means, and we don't talk that way anymore in this day and time, but the foundation for our glory. And that's where I'd kind of like to go today. I find that so often I think I am too shallow in my view of God, in my view of what real glory is. And we're called to glorify God for what he's done. It's in Matthew 15:31. And we're also for our bodily conduct, 2 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You're not your own, you're bought with a price. So glorify God in your bodies. And by our deeds, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. And then the last one in Revelation, it said we're to glorify God by fearing him. It doesn't say it exactly the way in Revelations, but what it does, it takes it from the negative and basically says we don't glorify God because we don't fear him. And it's important that we respect who our Savior is. And we really need to beware of superficial glory. Matthew 15:8 says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And, you know, I see so many exciting concerts, big group meetings. You know, I went to some of the Promise Keepers things where they had stadium full of men, supposedly were there to praise and honor the Lord. And so often I think it's the thrill of what's going on, the emotion, and not the content. Luke 10:20 says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. So many people rejoice when they see the great gifts or great wonders happening that they can point toward God. He says, don't glory in these. Glory in the fact that your name is written in heaven. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love and justice in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. It's interesting. The verses before that one, the Lord says in 23, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this, he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. 25, though, is to me the chilling one. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. And, you know, so often I think some of our worship is only in the flesh. It's not because our hearts are worshiping. We haven't taken that next step. And the basis for all glory, of course, is a correct view of God. But a friend of mine challenged me. He said, we're in a little men's group, and he said, glory is authority. And I said, seems like to me you're making it too simple. But you know, the more I looked into it, the more I see that the basis of glory is God's authority. Now, one of the issues is he talks about giving his glory to us, which is a portion of his authority. And as we look at it, that's where it gets a little dicey. That's where I'm not always comfortable going, thinking that I'm sharing the glory of God. Turn with me to John 17. Father, the time has come. Glorify thy Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those whom you have given him. Here's the glory mixed with the authority. And then he also goes on down in verse 4. He says, I have brought you glory on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you from the beginning. John 17 is heavy in things that happen. In other words, Jesus glorified God by what he did, by accomplishing the work. And of course, that work was going to the cross and the resurrection. And then down in verse 10, all I have is yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. The glory has come to me through them. In other words, the glory has come to Jesus through those God has given him. Those of us sitting here in this room, we need to realize that the glory of God is in how we live our lives. And then in verse 22, it says, I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. God has given us a portion of his glory. Or Jesus has given him a portion of his glory. Where does this really go? Since words are cheap, I really began to see through John 17 that the glory he was talking about, Jesus glorified God by his completed work in John 17. And the disciples, their actions are what glorified Jesus. It's part of our life. We can't accept just by saying, I glorify thee, Lord, and sing glory, glory, glory. It's who we are, what we're becoming, what he's changing us into. That's what brings glory to God. That's where the real glory is. And it's interesting, when in John 17, when God gave Jesus glory, the first one he says, you gave me authority over all peoples. The authority factor. And you know, I think there are three authorities we have to come to grips with. One is the authority of God himself. And you know, Genesis 1, he kept repeating, God said, let there be. God is the one who created everything. That's his authority. It's the basis of his authority. He created everything on this earth. In Job 1:12, Satan had to come and ask permission to touch God's man Job. If you feel like things are getting hard on you, and that maybe you're an object of Satan's attacks, realize that before he can touch a believer, he has to come and ask God. He has authority over Satan. And then in Psalm 75, he talks about the rulers. He said, God exalts one and puts down another. You know, it's interesting how he does that. And those of us who were conservative, we're really upset about the rule of the Lord put over us for 8 years. And now the other half of the United States is upset about the ruler that has been put over them. So, but God is the one who's orchestrating these things. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe it's his authority? And then he has absolute authority over the earth. Joshua 10. Joshua was fighting a little battle, and he prayed that the sun would not go down so he could finish the battle. For almost a whole day, the sun did not go down. In 2 Kings 20, Ezekiel prayed for a sign that he had more years to live. The shadow moved back 10 steps. Remember when I was in college, computers were just coming out, and I was in Henry Morris's Sunday school class, and he said one of his scientist friends called him from another university, and he said, I've got an interesting story to tell you. He said, one of the other scientists that's been studying the movement of the stars and the movement of the planets had come up with a formula that worked on every planet but the Earth. He said, everything worked. He said, something's wrong with my formula. And the friend of Henry Morris just laughed at him. He says, no, your formula is perfect. It's working good. He said, his formula said the Earth was 23 hours and I think 20-some minutes out of sync from where it should be in rotation and based on his formula. You know, we think an eclipse is something. What about when the earth stops spinning for almost a day? And it doesn't upset everything. Boy, the earth scientists would tell you that would be catastrophic. God just stopped it. That's authority. Isaiah 14:24. As I planned, so shall it be. As I purpose, so shall it stand, says the Lord. You know, in today, there's an identity revolution going on. And people are not happy with who they are. And, you know, I'd like to say that's a new thing. But, you know, most of us have times that we're not real happy. God, why did you make me this way? You know? And, of course, the identity thing is they're struggling whether they're female or male or whatever. But all of us wonder, you know, Lord, why didn't you give me this gift or that ability? And we wrestle with that. Years ago, I memorized Isaiah 43:7. See if I can remember it now. The Lord has purpose. Basically says he created us for his glory, for his purpose. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. He made us where we are. And if we rebel against that in any way, we're rebelling against the authority of God. And then there's Christ's authority. Back to John 17:2, he says he's given him the authority, him authority over all people. God has granted him authority over all people. John 5:21 says the Father has given him the ability to give life. And in 20 through 27, he says he's given the authority to judge. God gives Jesus the authority to judge. Matthew 2:10 says he's the authority to forgive sins. They really challenged him, didn't it, the Pharisees? They said only God can forgive sins. Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. And you know, Satan attacks us on that all the time. His little whisper says, someone as bad as you are, God can't really forgive you. And you know, I've heard those whispers even after being a Christian for several years. He likes to attack the fact, do we really believe that Jesus has authority to forgive our sins? That his work was complete. Matthew 8:27, the disciples were on the boat, and their comment was, even the winds and the waves obey him. At his command, the storm that was about to sink their boat stopped. And then in Matthew 10:26 through 31, which is the story of the demon-possessed man who, when Jesus asked the name of the demon, he said, my name is Legion, because there are many of us. The evil spirits were terrified of Jesus. They understood his authority. You know, I think so often we Christians don't understand that authority. I don't know whether it was Gurry, one of the Dawsons was sharing his testimony years ago and talked about how as a teenager he used to ride with the other Indians up the river in Venezuela to the tribes. And he said one night they went to this tribe, and he said, I was just tagging along. He says, I was kind of a rebellious teenager in those years. And he said, we went into the village, and the next morning the shaman, who was the medicine man, came to him and said, who are you? He says, who do you mean, who am I? He says, I'm a member of this tribe, and I'm just traveling with these people from this other tribe. And he says, no, I mean, who are you? He says, when you came in last night, all my demons fled to the hills. And he said, that's the first time he realized there's something more powerful than we understand. Keith, when you go to Coffeewood, it may not seem like it, but the demons flee because Jesus is there. See? Do we realize he has that kind of authority? And then the one I struggle with more than any is the authority that he's given believers. Initially, Genesis 1:26, he says he gave man dominion over the beast. I still watch when I've got a calf down and I'm tagging it, and that 1,100-pound cow is about 2 feet from my face. I don't take my eyes off of her. Sometimes that dominion works. The dominion really works when I say, you've best behaved, you're going to McDonald's. I had one of those last night. John 17:22, he says he's given us glory, authority of the Father. In some ways, you know, he's given us part of his glory. His glory is his authority. Luke 9, verse 1, Jesus gave the disciples authority to drive out demons and to heal the sick. You know, in some ways, when we're ministering and we're sharing the gospel of Jesus, whether we realize it or not, we're driving out demons and healing the sick of diseases much more deadly, because it's eternal death we're talking about. We're dealing much more with than any of the than any of the physical healers that walk around. And then John 14:12 said, Jesus said, those who have faith will do the works I do, but even greater works than these will I do. That verse has always bothered me. I don't feel like I'm doing greater works than Jesus did. But it's a real challenge to us to do what's before us and what we can do. Years ago, Beverly was leading a woman's Bible study here in, not in this church, but in our old church. And she said, there were about, I don't know, 10 or 15 women were coming. And most of them were senior to her and had more time with the Lord than she did. All of them say, we can't lead a study. We're not gifted to lead a study. And I've heard Andy up here preaching for the last few times he's been up, that God gives gifts to those when they need it. They probably were perfectly well gifted and had the ability to lead a study. But they didn't believe and didn't have faith that Jesus would work through them and that they could do works because of that Jesus had set for them. Most of you know John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I asked Andy this the other day, and he says, what is that word power? It's really, it gives us the authority to become sons of God. But we have to receive him. He's given us, literally given the authority for us to become sons of God, to those who believe on his name. Authority he's given to us. And I want to switch to talk about understand how authority influences us. And I want to turn to a story in the scriptures. The only time I think when I read scriptures that I hear real excitement in Jesus' voice. Romans 8, 5 through 10. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, a soldier under me. I tell you this one, tell this one, go, and he goes, and to that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Jesus heard this, and he was astonished and said to those who followed him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I can almost hear the exuberance in Christ. This is the kind of person I've been looking for. I'm excited about this man because look at this great faith that he has. What did he understand? He understood authority. He understood Jesus' authority. He didn't question, he just accepted the authority of Jesus. You know, I find very often I don't do that. And I'm a believer. And I've walked with him for years. The basis for authority is trusting the one that we're trusting, the one who has the authority. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Probably all of us know that verse, but it's one of the hardest verses in the scripture to practice on an everyday basis. And part of it is, I'm convinced that I haven't had a strong enough view of Christ's authority. Second Timothy 1:12, Paul said, I'm convinced that he is able to guard that which I've committed to him against that day. Paul had a trust and a confidence in God. And when you read what Paul went through, you have to be convinced that Paul understood Jesus' authority. And then the second thing we can see, he really trusted Jesus, but also the centurion was someone, he was a man of authority, but he was under authority. And you know, all believers, no matter where they are and what their position in the Church of Christ is, everyone is who has authority is also under authority. Whether it's a father with his children, whether it's a pastor with his church, whether it's a deacon who's doing his service, he has the authority given him to do those jobs, but he's also under authority. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch of your souls as one who will have to give account. Let them do this joyfully and not sadly, for that would be of no advantage to you. They give account. In a sense, we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account for the things done in our body. And then also the thing we see in this parable is that this centurion, even though he had authority, he was responsible for protecting and taking care of his men. He has this particular one servant that he was really concerned about taking care of. Anyone who has authority comes with great responsibility of what the responsibility that he's been given to care for the people under his authority. We see that pictured here in the centurion. I also see it pictured several other places in Scripture. Matthew 28:18-20. Go therefore and make disciples of many nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. I left off 18. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore, this is my command to you, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But verse 20 says, lo, I'm with you always. I've got your back. I'm there for you. I'm not giving you something that you do that doesn't have my support. Christ takes responsibility for us. And in John 17, he says, "None you've given me, Lord, have I lost except the son of perdition." He took responsibility for his people. The other one is the Father. And if you look at your bulletin, Amy used the Luke verse. I use the Matthew verse. How I long for those who are wandering. The Lord says, I long to be like a hen and gather them under my feathers, gather them under my wings, for protect them. The whole book of Psalms is just filled with the fact that the Lord's desire is to protect those who come to him and to care for them. You take the whole book of Psalms and just it just screams that out at us. And then those who are in charge of the church or in charge of a ministry. 1 Peter 5:2-3. Tend the flock of God that is your charge, not by constraint but willingly, not for shameful gain but eagerly, not as domineering of those in your charge but being examples to the flock. Anyone who's God has given responsibility to. And I speak to that, particularly those of us who are parents. You know, he's given us responsibility for our children. And then the other thing, too, is the authority. This centurion, I see him as a man with a purpose. God has given him authority over a bunch of men to accomplish a task. I should say Caesar has, or his authority over him. All the authority the Lord gives us as an individual, all the gifts he gives us, all the abilities are not for our self-gratification, but they're for the accomplishment of God's plan and what he has, the work assignment he has for us. First Corinthians 4:7. For who sees anything different in you? What have you that you did not receive? If you received it, why do you boast as it were not a gift? Everything God has given us, all the authority, all the abilities, they're gifts. And he's given it to us literally for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And Luke 12:48 says, "Whom much is given, much is required." Much is given, much is required. Only as we truly understand Christ's authority and the authority he's given us will we have the faith to step out and take actions that will truly glorify our God. Only if we're confident in his authority. And when we say authority, you know, authority is the basis of lordship. Alex is getting ready to take us through 1 Corinthians. And last week he mentioned that lordship is the theme. We can't follow someone if we don't really believe he has the authority. Lordship is based. The basis of lordship is the authority of Jesus Christ. The basis of all trust in God. Is his authority and his ability. The basis for submission to his providence and submission to his sovereignty all are based on our confidence in his authority. confidence in the scriptures. Everyone says, well, someone along the line could have changed scripture. Well, I'm confident in scripture, not because maybe somebody couldn't have messed with it. I'm confident because of the authority of who wrote it and who is protecting it. It's his authority gives us the confidence in scripture. And without his confidence in his authority, we will not act or speak in his name. Because we're not sure who's got our back. But the one who has the ultimate authority does. My prayer is that I may glorify God by my commitments and actions, because I'm motivated and free because he is the authority in whom I listen to and obey. His authority gives me the freedom to do these things. True glory is not based on what Christ does for me, but on his position of authority. True glory is not based on the trinkets he gives me, but on who he really is. And I think we so often forget that. I had somebody asked me how my Labor Day picnic went. There's one thing I took away from that. Gentlemen were sharing and talking back and forth, and they said, you know, the biggest problem we have in the church, on Christian, and of course this gentleman is in outreach mostly, and he said, the problem is we're always presenting the plan of salvation. He said, I finally figured out that the only effective way of winning people is to present the person of salvation. Sent Jesus, not some plan. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for your authority, which undergirds everything. And Lord, we want to thank you that we can praise you and glorify you, because you are the God of all authority. You are the God who controls everything. And you are the God who gives us what little authority we have. But it's authority you've given for us to use effectively to bring glory to your name. We thank you for yourself. And we thank you that we can glorify you today. And pray as we go and rub shoulders with the people in the world that we come in contact with, truly they will see your glory shine through our life. Thank you very much for yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.